Well, good morning. My name is Paul, and for those of you who don't know me, let me just introduce myself really quickly. And that I am a member of the Pastors Council here at Sunnyside, and I'm also the interim pastor coordinator for Sunnyside. Trying to remember how the title actually went. And so, while we are in the process of looking for a senior pastor, the Lord has placed upon my heart to be able to serve here as your interim. Now, for those of you who haven't seen me in a while, let me explain why. And so you just don't think that I've been absent. And that the Lord has, part of the ministry that I do here in the region is working with young leaders and within youth ministry. But part of the other ministry that I do as well is that I do a lot of work with First Nations youth and First Nations people. And I work especially up in the northern area of Quebec in the James Bay area. And so I was up there for the month of July and then for another week in August. And now I'm back from my travels and will be here in Ottawa for the next little while, except that I'm not here next weekend, which is why I passed the clipboard by me and didn't sign up for anything, just in case you're wondering. And that's always terrible, being the first person that's given the clipboard, you're the interim pastor, and you don't sign up. And so, people are nodding, yeah, that's bad. So, but the reason is because I'm going to be at Silver Lake next week, the Wesleyan camp. I'm speaking at the teen camp there. And the other side of that, too, and I asked for prayer for that, and that is that we've got 20 youth and leaders coming down from Mistissini, up in northern Quebec. They're going to take a 1,000-kilometer trip down to be able to join us that weekend so that their youth can experience a retreat down here. And so we are totally, unbelievably excited for this. Silver Lake has made it possible because when they asked me to speak, I was reluctant at first. I don't do a lot of youth retreats or anything anymore. Can you imagine why at my age? But... But I told them, I said I would be open and to it if I could bring down a few people from up north so that they could see what one looks like when it's when it happens down here. And they said, well, not only can you do that, Paul, bring as many as you want, and we'll have them stay for free at the camp. And so just unbelievable. So we're thrilled, absolutely thrilled, and so I appreciate your prayers for next weekend. Not only as I'm speaking, but also that these youth and leaders will gain a vision for what it means to be able to bring something back to their community in order to be able to see the Lord continue to do an unbelievable work there. So, very thankful for that. This morning, I want to be able to share with you a very small portion of Scripture that comes from 2 Kings chapter 5. And it's only three verses. Instead of reading them, I just want to be able to share the story with you. There's a reason why I do things that way, and it's because I believe the majority of Scripture is written in a story format. We tend to read it almost like it should be a theological exercise, and where we sort of look at things and we say to ourselves, it's giving us all sorts of commandments and rules and laws and things to be able to live by. The fascinating thing about Scripture, though, is that the majority of it is written in a story fashion. It wants us to be able to appreciate that these are real people's lives and real moments, and they had to go through these things without knowing what the outcome is going to be. And there are portions of Scripture that absolutely fascinate me, and this is one of them. Now, we're only going to take three verses out of this whole story, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's because you need to read the rest of the story. And so you need to go home, you need to be able to open your Bibles, and you need to read the rest of the story to see what happens. Because I think it's important for us to be able to realize sometimes that you cannot simply get enough from what happens here on Sunday mornings. That's impossible. There's none of us who are going to be able to deliver you enough spiritual sustenance that you'll be able to make it through the whole week. And so my encouragement and my hope is that the messages that you hear on a Sunday morning inspire you to go back home and continue to examine and look at these things. And so this morning, we're only going to take a look at the very opening lines of this story, which is amazing, by the way. You need to read it. So in 2 Kings chapter 5, we're introduced to it. We're told that there is this fellow named Naaman, and basically, he is an enemy of Israel. Just to put it succinctly and that. He's an enemy of Israel. And he is a powerful enemy. He is a military leader that God has blessed with ability to be able to be extremely successful in what he does. And the reason I mention that is because I want you to be able to appreciate something. The scriptures are absolutely clear. There's nobody who is in a position of authority and able to act with that authority unless the Lord allows them. There is nobody. Whether they are working for God or against God, there is nobody in a position to be able to do those things unless God allows it. God has allowed Naaman to become successful against his own people, and there's various different reasons for that at this time. But Naaman is so successful, he's so well known, his name even brings terror into the hearts of other people. And as you read the story, you'll be able to appreciate that. Naaman is successful, he is terrifying, and he's very good at what he does, which is basically killing people. That's basically what he does. He's good at it. Now it says that some of the bands that he has, that he's in charge of, have gone into Israel, and they have one day taken captive a young girl. And we don't know anything about her. We don't know her name. We don't know really the majority of her story. We don't know anything except for verse 3, what it says there. And I just want to be able to take a look at that with you right now. And it says here that she is serving Naaman's wife. She has been taken captive, and she's serving Naaman's wife. And the fascinating thing about her is that in her service to Naaman's wife, she realizes that Naaman has been, basically Israel would have looked at it, and most of the people in those days would have looked at it, cursed by God because he has leprosy. He has a skin disease of some sort that is not only obvious, it's debilitating. And it is affecting him. And most people at that time would have looked at it and said, that's God's mark upon you because you're not really doing what he wants you to. Somehow or other, you've messed up. Doesn't mean that that was the truth behind it. But Naaman has the leprosy. Now, she sees that, and the fascinating thing about her in her service to Naaman's wife, in verse 3, it says, she said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. And that's it. The honest truth is, you can read the rest of the story, and I hope this isn't going to be disappointing for you, but you will hear no more about this little girl. That's it. That's all you're going to hear. And so I don't know, is that what, I forget what you call that when you sort of share that moment of the story and everybody goes, really? Really? That's it? No, that is so disappointing. I want you to be able to appreciate something though here. That's all you hear. This is why I love this portion of Scripture. It's all you hear. Do you have anybody from Scripture that you really looking forward, I mean, besides Jesus? We're all looking forward to meet Jesus. But at the same time, is there anybody else in Scripture that you're looking at and you're saying to yourself, I can't wait to meet that person? This is it for me. This is it for me. I want to meet this girl. I really want to meet this girl. I want to hear the rest of her story. I want to be able to say, what happened with the rest of your story? Oh, well, what took place? What happened next? What went on? Can you share with me about what happened and what? Oh, I can't wait to be able to find out from her what the rest of her story was. She's nameless. She's absolutely nameless for us. There's so many reasons that I've contemplated as to why we have just been left open-ended with this young girl. Why is this? She gives this one line. If only my master, Naaman, the fellow who's taken me as a slave, if only he would go to Israel. There's a prophet there. His name's Elisha, by the way. That won't kill the rest of the story for you. And his name is Elisha, and I want you to be able to appreciate something. He is able to heal this guy. God has empowered him to be able to do these things. I love this girl. I really do. And I'm so looking forward to meeting her. She is probably within the range of about 8 to 10 years old. And I want you to be able to appreciate a little bit about her right now. And the first thing is this. She has experienced unbelievable trauma in her life. Unbelievable trauma. She has been taken as a slave, as a captive, in a battle that probably saw other people in her community, maybe even members of her own family, killed. And she has been taken, and she is so aware of the fact that what happens in these communities and their communities in those days was that people did things like this. You raided it, and then you captured people, and you brought them into slavery. And there was no return. Normally, there was no return. That person's life no longer became their own. She has been removed and faced with unbelievable trauma. And I'm thinking to myself, as an 8 to 10-year-old, I have grandchildren in that range. And I'm looking at them and thinking to myself, what would they be thinking? What would they be feeling? What would they be going through? And how would they be experiencing these moments? I want to be able to go through with you this morning some of the things that I have reflected upon in light of this. And the reason I want to do this too is because here's the question I've been asking myself, and I think everybody needs to ask themselves, and that is this: what would your story look like if unbelievable trauma suddenly hit it, unexpected, and suddenly your whole story became something that was completely different from anything you had hoped for, from anything you had dreamed of, from anything you had desired, from anything that you had expected even, because that's what's happened to her. In the story, we have some insight in terms of this one little verse in verse 3. We have some insight into how she is responding to these moments. The first one is this, which is unbelievable to me, and that is that she had a deep faith, strongly rooted. Somehow or other, this little girl has a deep faith that is strongly rooted. When things happen that are so unexpected, and they come our way, and they take our feet out from underneath us, they just wipe us out, it suddenly changes the whole storyline. What would your story look like? From that point on, what would your story look like? How would your faith be playing a part in that story? What is it that's at the core of what you believe that would be sustaining you right now? It's fascinating to me that this little girl has a strong, rooted faith. I would imagine she'd probably get that from her family and probably from people in her community. Somehow she had come to believe that God is good. That's the second thing I want you to be able to appreciate here, that God is good and that he cares. She could have easily just believed that God was cruel. She could have easily just believed that God was indifferent. She could have easily believed that God was just up there, but not always watching, not always looking after, not always being involved, and maybe just looking at things sometimes and just saying, well, let's see what happens. But instead, she believes that God is good. And why does she believe that? Because she still believes that God wants to be good to the people who are around her. She believes that God is still active in doing good. She's saying, if he would only go to this prophet back in my home country, I can promise you right now, he would be healed. He would be healed. She cares for those around her. She cares for them. That comes out of her belief that God is good and that God cares. I want to be able to present something to you right now that is really important here for you to be able to understand. God is either completely good, perfectly good, or he's cruel. It's one of the two. Because you can't claim sovereignty over all things. And in the readings that we've heard this morning, it is all about God's absolute sovereignty. And you cannot claim sovereignty over all things and not be either good or be cruel. And you can't just be partially good. Because if you're only partially good, you're cruel. Because as we look at the circumstances and situations that we see around us in this world today, God is either good and operates out of a heart of care and compassion, no matter what the story is that's going on around us, or he is cruel. It is one of the two. Amazing thing about the scriptures is it tells us God is love, pure love, unbelievable love. God cannot even operate out of anger towards people who are antagonistic towards him, except out of love. It's impossible for him. He can only act out of love. Somehow this little girl has grasped it. Not only has she grasped it, but it's rooted so deeply within her that she cares for the people who have been her oppressors. How unbelievable is that? She cares for the people who have been her oppressors. How does a child get to that place, coming out of that unbelievable trauma, and suddenly find themselves in a situation where not only they are enslaved, their life is no longer their own, but they now care for the people who are oppressing them. They care for these people. As I reflected upon this, I've asked myself, if I was that 8 to 10-year-old, not a girl, but a guy in that situation, and if I was that 8 to 10-year-old, how would I be responding here? And I realized that in my heart, it's not good. It's not good. First of all, I would probably be so angry and so filled with hate for the people who oppress me that I'd be serving them only to avoid negative consequences. I'd only be trying to avoid the negative. I'd only be able to try and avoid, because I'd realize that you don't do this, you can get beaten. You continue to not do it, you could be killed. You could be sold into even a worse situation in terms of being in slavery. I would realize that I could just be good just to avoid the consequences. I would just try to be good, but in my heart, I would hate. I also realized to myself that as I was looking at it, I thought, what would be the other part that may come out of you, Paul? And I realized, you know what? I might be good, and I might even go ahead and say things like, you know what? There's a prophet back in my home country that could heal you, and why would I be saying all that? Because I'm hoping that this is going to turn around for me. I'm really hoping that, you know what? If I suck up enough here, and that just maybe, you guys would be good enough to me that my life could get, I might even be able to go back home. That would be just amazing. And so, you know what? I'll play the game. I'll do everything I can to try and see if I could get a better outcome. I'm looking at this child, though, and I think this is so beautiful for the way that God has written this, because we don't know the outcome. We don't know the outcome. Wouldn't it be wonderful in this story right now if you knew that you could read the story, you go home and read the story and not be disappointed that Paul told you to, and realize that this little girl was then returned to her family, and not only that, Naaman provided them with great wealth so they could live forever just beautifully in the whole bit, and he rebuilt their community, had his soldiers go and do that, because and promised they'd never be raided again, he would be their protector. Wouldn't that just be great? Wouldn't that just be wonderful? I mean, let's face it, wouldn't we all love the fairy tale ending? It would just be wonderful to be able to see that. Isn't that sad, though? The scripture is written realistically. It's written in a real world, in real terms, in real moments, in real situations, and not everything turns out the way that we would love to be able to see the dream ending. But isn't it even more fascinating that God goes ahead and says, this isn't your story? And the reason I'm not sharing the ending with you is because it was her story, and that's between me and her. And I want you to be able to know something. Can you trust me for the ending of your story? Can you trust me for where it's going? Can you trust me for what I'm doing in it? Here's the other beautiful thing about this little girl. And this is the thing that probably humbled me the most in the last week as I've been reflecting upon this. And that is this, that this little girl, her story was not just about herself. It was not just about herself. Her story was also about Naaman. Her story was also about what God wanted to do in his life. And for whatever reason, he saw her heart. And then he went ahead and said, and decided that, you know something? I know what's about to happen to you, but I know your heart. And I've got your heart. And by the way, trust me, this story's not just about you. It's about what I want to do in this military leader's life. I was humbled by this because of the fact that I was reflecting upon the fact of, Lord, how many times do I pray about the moments and the situations that I'm in, and the honest truth is my prayers are all about me. God, this suffering that I'm going through right now, these circumstances that I'm faced with, this moment that I'm faced, Lord, this is just overwhelming. It's burying me. God, I just can't. God, you got to just help me out of this moment. I just got to see an end to this. God, I got to have the healing. God, I got to have the moment. God, you got to be able to send the blessings, turn this thing around, da-da-da-da. And I realized to myself that my prayers are all about me. Instead of, God, what is it that you need me in this moment for? What is it that you're trying to teach me? But not only that, God, but what is it that you need me in this moment for? Because this story is not just about me. It's about those around me as well. And God, am I willing to be in this story used by you because I trust your heart is good and your heart is loving? And God, can I trust you with these moments? Not even knowing what the outcome might be, but doing what you've called me to do with my eyes just not focused on me. I really like this little girl. She believed that God wanted to bless. She believed that God wanted to bless. You know, oftentimes my prayers are about God blessing me. Sorry, does that sound selfish? Some of you aren't even looking at me anymore. But oftentimes, I will admit, my prayers are more about, God, please, bless me. Bless me, God. Bless me. You know, even when I'm praying about things that are in conflict or things that are in difficulty around me, I'm still praying, God bless me. This little girl is praying, God bless others. She's praying, God bless others. God bless this guy, Naaman. I know he's my master, but you know what? For some reason or other, she's accepted the fact that that's where she is. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it justified that this little girl should be a slave and have been taken away from her family and have been placed in a situation where her life is no longer her own. It doesn't make it right. But she has accepted that in this moment, that's where she is. And her prayer is, God, I want you to bless the people around me. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, anybody who comes to me must come like a child, must come with the faith and the heart of a child, open to who I am, open to trusting me, even when you don't see. Most amazing thing about children, and that is that when they know you love them, they trust you. They trust you. It amazes me that if you, as a stranger, picked up my child, any one of my grandchildren, and decided you were going to throw them in the air and catch them, do you know what their reaction would be? Absolute terror and screaming. Absolute terror and screaming. That's the response you would get from the moment you tried to pick them up to the moment that you threw them in the air. You would see it on their face, their body language. They would be absolutely terrified. Do you know when they come running to me and I pick them up and I throw them in the air and I catch them? Do you know what their look on their face is? Absolute terror. No. Just wanted to see if you were listening still. The look on their face is absolute joy. They're looking at me, why? Because they know that so far Papa has not dropped them, okay? And they look at it with just unbelievable joy that Papa would do this with them. Because they know he cares, and they know he loves them. This little girl knows in whose hands her story lies. And she is so confident about that, she is willing to say to God, bless those around me. And how is that also reflected? In her willingness to serve. Her willingness to serve. She does it with such an attitude that Naaman's wife doesn't even look at the little girl suspicious of what she's advising. She accepts it as truth. And why does she accept it as truth? Because she's seen the way that this child serves her with an open heart. With an open heart. And as a result, she's willing to go to her husband and say, you need to take this seriously. What this little child said, you need to take it seriously. And you have to read the rest of the story to see how seriously he takes it. We are a community here. We are a community with different needs, different gifts, different talents, different callings, different stories. But the most beautiful thing about it is that within this community, we need each other. We need each other. I can assure you that as your interim, I can assure you, your pastoral staff team, I can assure you, we need you. We need your prayers. We need your support. We need your affirmation. We need the times that you will encourage us. We need the times that you will suggest that maybe there are things that we could do better. We need those things. We need each other. Beth Fleming, in our staff meeting this week, it was her last staff meeting with us, but she said this line, and I just thought to myself, wow, I have not thought about that before in that particular way that she stated it. And she said that COVID has taught us not to become involved. COVID has taught us not to become involved. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus has called us to do. He said, you will know, people will know that you are followers of me, that you are learners of who I am because of your love for one another. I thank God for this little girl, and one day I look forward to meeting her. Let's pray. Father, thank you that the things that are recorded for us were recorded because your purpose in it is for us to be encouraged and strengthened, affirmed, by the way that you have worked in the stories of others. But Father, I thank you too that right now, our trust is in your unfailing love. And so, Father, may you do in our stories right now and in the stories of those around us what only you can do. And may your love be displayed. And may we, Father, be used by you to help change the stories of others. For we ask you this in the only name that matters. In Jesus' name, amen.